Hello, people, and welcome back to the Outbounds YouTube channel. We are back with covering the NBA. As you know, we have now reached the business end of the playoffs. We've got Denver Nuggets versus the Miami Heat. I will go into discuss everything that happened in the conference final. So we have the regular guests back with us. We play with Kojo, Abbas, and Sam. How are you all doing?
I'm good, bro, man. All good. How are you?
You know, I'm doing good. You know, Lakers, like, the sweeping had put so long ago that it's been like...
Bro, we forgot about... I forgot that series.
He was controlling the narrative as usual. That's why he's my guy. So, he made him forget about the sweep and talk about him retiring. So, done
his yeah. I mean, it's been so long. Kojo converted to a Jordan fan or Bulls fan now. So, that's where we are now. That's where we are now. Also, we're losing recipes. But as I was saying, let's start off with the Lakers and the Denver series because it was a sweep. Now, in my opinion, I don't think the sweep does it justice in terms of there was a lot of close games and whatnot. But going into the series, I feel like a lot of people talk about how Lakers should be favored because he's going to guard AD, he's going to guard LeBron, they're going to have Jokic in hell and all that kind of stuff. But we've seen that this Nugget team is the truth. I mean, they've got size, pause, they've got shooting, they've got ball handling and point guard, KCP and Bruce Brown, role players, stepped up big, Gordon, and then Jokic, I mean, arguably the best player in the league. Were people disrespecting the... I'm going to ask, were the Nuggets a team that you had to see to believe it, or do you feel like they were just being disrespected?
I think because of what you saw with Jokic, like throughout the playoffs, you kind of started believing in them. Like before, it was literally a case of, we need to see it to believe it, or they can get round past the first round. Can they do better? And then, like, you legitimately saw a superstar in Jokic prove why he's probably should have been the MVP. So I don't think they were disrespected too much like that. Like previous years, they probably would have been. But I think this year they went in. I wouldn't call the Lakers favorite in this series. I would have, realistically, being a Lakers fan, that's why I would have picked them. Otherwise, you would have sided with Denver. But I wouldn't say Denver were disrespected going into the series. Maybe they were a bit underappreciated because it's that thing of you have to be there, done it to get the respect type of thing. And they've never done that before. So I could understand why people were on it. But I don't think Jokic was disrespected. I think, if anything, someone like Jamal Murray might have been disrespected because all the attention was on Jokic. And Murray was also delivering big numbers in quite a few of the games that we saw.
I don't think Denver was disrespected. I think maybe they were slightly slept on for a number of reasons, because obviously it's Denver, just the name itself doesn't really kind of appeal to many, like very big NBA fanatics. So the casual, I don't think they really would like take an interest in Denver. And obviously, I think when it comes to NBA playoffs, you're going to see a lot more casual NBA fans kind of take an interest in the NBA season. In regards to Denver winning the series, it wasn't really a surprise to me, because Denver are a very good team. I knew that this team potentially could get to the conference final. So for me, if their team's there, it's not a surprise that they can beat us. And obviously, like Abbas said, partially the reason why I predict Lakers wins, because I'm a Lakers fan. I want my team to, you know, to do well. I'm going to win with my team. So that was one of the reasons why I picked. What'd you say, Richard?
I said we've got some serious backtracking going on from...
There's no backtracking, Richard, man. So, nah, I'm just wearing the Bulls t-shirt because... I'm just one MJ.
No, I was talking about that.
You're trashing him, bro. I have to rep MJ, my guy. But I've always rated Denver. I've always rated Jamal Murray. I knew they were a good team. If I wasn't a Lakers fan, I was going to pick a winner in this series before it started. I was going to go with Denver, just be more rational. But I think now everyone's really noticing the Nuggets and realizing, you know what, this team can play. They're a serious team. They are the favorites heading into this upcoming NBA Finals, and rightfully so. So I feel like, I don't think it was disrespect. I just feel like a lot of people didn't really kind of pay too much attention. It wasn't like, oh, this Denver team not good, or, you know, they're trash, or Jokic is overrated, or Murray's not that guy. It's just realistic. There wasn't that much general attention on the Nuggets. And when you're against the Lakers, the name LeBron James, it's going to be very hard for a team like that to really get some attention. So, yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Tom, do you want to say anything on the situation? Or?
Yeah, just kind of reiterating what everyone else said. Like, I would say they'll kind of slept on the under the radar because we've seen Denver in previous years where they've been like a one or two seed and it's never ever planned out well for them. And people have kind of thought, it's just Denver. They've never been there. They haven't done it before. So you go with the tried and tested, the proven. So you normally go with the Golden States, the, you know, the LeBron and so forth. So that's why people just thought, okay, cool. Like the, you know, Denver's there. Let's see how they match up against the Lakers and so forth. When you got LeBron and AD and you got a decent, you know, cast of role players, you're thinking it could go, not the distance, but it could be a competitive series. And similar to like what everyone else said, the reason why I said Lakers, because I'm a Lakers fan. But, you know, when you deep it, stop shaking your head. When you deep it, like, you would have picked Denver, but I don't think nobody would have seen a sweep coming. And with that, this I was saying in the previous tie, when the Lakers beat the Golden State Warriors, I said, yes, the Lakers won, but let's not get deceived. I think there was opportunities where Golden State could have won that in terms of chance that they had. Klay was open, not hitting down shots. And also go to what happened at the beginning of the season, Draymond and Jordan Poole. That had a lot to play with the Golden State season in terms of most of the time they was out of the playoffs and they managed to finish sixth. So I think Denver was slept on. There was a bit under the radar because it's not a glamorous franchise or a glamorous team. But they're doing what they're meant to do. They're number one seed for a reason, and they're kind of showing it.
No, I mean, I agree with some of the things you guys say. I mean, obviously, as a man of integrity, I did not let my love for the Lakers cloud my judgment, and I did pick Denver to win the series. But as Sam said, we didn't get a sweep. And I think the most impressive thing about the whole thing was the way that either Jokic or Murray will step up in the clutch. Because, as you said, there were games that AD went whereas in, he didn't step up. You can see in game four when LeBron dropped like 31 in the first half and he didn't have AD to go with him. And AD, I will always respect because I do feel like the job that he does on defense, like, it's unbelievable. Like, the Lakers are so much different. Like, Lakers' defense is non-existent if AD's on the court.
One quick question. But, you said you respect him because he's defense, but sometimes don't you have to not rate him because of his motor and how he can have roller coaster series? Next game he scores five.
No, but that's the point I was getting to. So my point is that I would never say AD is a bad player, he's not elite because of, I think, what he does on defensive end. But then offensively, it's just like he's a player that just has to give you more. He doesn't, and we've said it for like a couple of years now, AD's meant to really want to take the mantle off LeBron. AD's meant to really want to do this. And it's like he'll have two good games, one bad game, which in the regular season, it's fine, but when you come to the playoffs, and especially a team like Denver, you can see the way Jokic is balling up. Jokic is hitting free from deep. And I do think there was I don't know if it was a coaching issue or a personal issue, just because of the way Denver play, you've got Jokic on the perimeter. If AD comes as well, you then have no rim protection. So now you've got KCP can get to rim out well. Whereas in 2020, they played AD and Dwight Howard for a reason. Whereas now AD can match up with Jokic and they still got their defensive presence in the perimeter. So I do think, realistically, looking back on it, it was kind of a bad matchup for the Lakers to begin with. But as I said, it's now a point where I think Jokic is now starting to get the respect that he deserves. Because, I mean, when they lost to Golden State last year with Compozzo and Austin Rivers as the backcourt, people are saying, how can he be the MVP this? How can he be the MVP that? And even though I still believe Embiid is the rightful MVP because the regular season award, I do think Jokic is now getting into serious conversations for best player in the league, which I do believe he deserves. So going forward, obviously, with Jokic, do you guys, because I've said that, I don't know if I can still put him as the best player in the league yet because I feel like maybe the ring might do it, but do you guys feel like he's now the best player in the league? Because obviously he's in the conversation, but would you guys put him number one?
I think he's definitely a conversation. I don't know if I'd put him as my definite number one because I still got to Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think for me, he would have a big playoff if he didn't get injured in that game one. So it's a bit 50-50. Look, obviously, if he wins the title, I think, you know, you can accept that a lot of people are going to say he's the best player in the world. Rightfully so. He's averaging triple-double in this postseason. two-time MVP. He's won a championship in a team like Denver. So for me, I can accept it, but I don't know if I'll say definitely he's one-on-one because I still look at the likes of Giannis Antetokounmpo, a guy who can dominate, has improved his game as well across the years. So for me, I would say definitively he's the best player in the world, but he's up there, definitely up there.
I think go on that question. That question is difficult these days because, you know, a few years ago, you'd have a definitive number one, LeBron or Giannis or KD or whoever it may be. Now, I think there's a group of players that are in that stratosphere. There might be five or six or seven of them, and it can change. Because I still look at it like, if you just go on recency bias, you still have to put Steph there. Like, in terms of what he did last season with Golden State. Pardon?
As number one.
Yeah. Like,
in that bubble.
Like, in terms of what he did last year with that team and how he carried on this season in the playoffs, like, even though they went out, you can see his numbers improved in the regular season and in the offseason with a Draymond that's washed, a Jordan Poole that wasn't really connected with the team, and Klay, which is, he's not the same Klay come off the injury. Yes, I do think Jokic is that guy at the moment, left in the playoffs. He's that guy. But when I look at him, I discussed this last time I was on the pod, and I mentioned, yes, Jokic is that guy, but you have to take into consideration the big presence that Jamal Murray being back on the team brings and opens up opportunities for Jokic. So, look, right about now, you could say he's number one. I don't know, similar to Kojo, if I can say he's the definitive number one, but he's up there. But I just think in terms of Steph and what he does and what he brings and the whole team is there to guard Steph, no one else, then I still have to go with Steph based on him still winning the league.
I'd say this. If he wins the championship, wins the finals MVP, you can call him number one for this season. So going 23-24, he'll be number one. 22-23. But then next season, when you see, like say, Giannis coming back, might have a 34-point season, lead the league in score, lead the league in rebounds. Then he'll take the Milwaukee Bucks to the number one seed, for example. Then you'll have a conversation where he's the number one. On the West side, you might, if you're lucky, see AD propel himself. I don't personally expect it, but you might see Kevin Durant might come back and put up crazy numbers. There's not a definitive, because we're not in an era of one individual player like how we used to. We're in an era of a lot of very good players, and then those that used to be that particular number one era, they've just fallen off a bit, or they've gotten older, but they're still in that conversation. So there will not be a definitive number one for a while, because for that to happen, you need to have one individual person either win multiple rings in a row or consistently be doing what LeBron was doing and making NBA finals for a long period of time to be like, that's that guy. Like, okay, cool, the NBA can learn it. Plus, it's one of them things, as weird as it sounds, because he's European, because he's got a dad bod, because he plays in Denver, it's very difficult to brand him as that number one guy. Like you said, there was a period where people called Steph like the definitive number one when he was playing one-on-one with LeBron and they were getting the better of him. And they were like, this could be the Steph era. Because also, like, the way he was appealing to kids, like, anybody could be Steph Curry, but nobody can be LeBron. So there was an appeal to Steph Curry as well. Again, there's not that appeal to be Jokic because it's hard to be Jokic. It's just naturally. Yeah.
But when you say your reasons why Jokic wouldn't really get that sort of notion of him being definitely the number one best player in the world, could be applied to Giannis, because Giannis plays in Milwaukee. And I think a lot of us in the last few years have said Giannis is the best player in the world. Maybe not definitively.
That's what I mean. So where Giannis has differed is because he's got that ring. So because he's got that ring, he's got the finals. And then he was also doing it where he was always in the MVP conversation and stuff like that. That's why you looked at him like, yo, that's that guy.
He's been in the MVP conversation for the last few years.
He's been in the MVP conversations, but he's not been. So that's what I said. If he wins the ring and then wins the finals and wins the finals MVP, and then basically has the next season where he continues to be that guy, then yeah, you can have the conversation. Right now, it's mixed between a lot of people because realistically, Milwaukee should not have got out as early as they did. So right now, there's not a definitive number, but if you were to give it to one person, give it to Jokic based off what he's currently done. But I'm not sitting here saying that guy's definitely better than that guy, the way like LeBron was definitely number one and like Kevin Durant was definitely number two type of thing.
Now, I 100% agree in terms of, I feel like Giannis should have been that guy because, as you said, I thought he was going to be, I believed anyways, until this season, he would be the guy to have the next run at the GOAT debate and whatnot, whereas in he continued to make finals, out of finals, and he'll always be in the MVP conversation because he'll always be dominant, but I feel like, especially if Jokic wins the ring, he will always be in the conversation as well. So I agree, there won't be a definitive, but I do feel like there will be a group of players. So, I mean, I don't know how much I can trust Embiid, but I do feel like Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis, and maybe Luka for like, let's say the next 5 years, will be the ones to constantly have those kind of seasons, whereas in that's the best player. So, whereas in you.
I hear it, but I think that won't be the case because the league is going away from the big men. So I hear it, but I don't think you can have three big men being the best player in the league. I don't think that's going to be the case. Like, their game is not appealing for people to say, oh, these guys. Because, like, when it comes to the crunch... Say it again?
Jokic game is.
Yeah, but Jokic's game is very dependent on the specific style of play. Like I said last time, I would never have Jokic as my number one player on my team. He have a Jamal Murray to get those triple doubles and be effective. If he doesn't have a Jamal Murray, he's not going to be effective as he is. Because the assists come into play because you got someone that there's also people that's taking shine from the defense. So now you got Murray with a one-on-one.
Look at last season. He was still putting up very good numbers and his backcourt composer.
But he put up numbers, but he lost in the playoffs though. So in terms of him going further, is that Jamal Murray's there and he's putting up big numbers as well alongside him.
No, but you can say with other players, no. Steph needed the likes of Clay and KD to help him.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that. But when you see the team here, you definitively know that team is Steph's team though. We're not saying this is Jokic's team because we've seen without Jokic.
No, he is Jokic's team, though.
I kind of get what Sam means.
His team. You can't. Last year, when Steph won that chip, who was his second best player? Chat to me. Who was his second best player? It wasn't Clay.
Andrew Wiggins.
It was Andrew Wiggins, yeah.
Exactly, Andrew Wiggins.
No, but one thing we say is
Andrew Wiggins has been a first
all star. No, but get an all star. He's a free ND though. If Andrew Wiggins is your second best player, that's not a great team, bro.
But Steph was never the guy like that though. Like, it doesn't mean the number one option you can rely on. It was only last season Steph is not the number one reliable option. It was only last season.
No, let's not do that. Let's not push that narrative that Steph hasn't been.
Okay, no, I love Steph. He's one of my favorite players in the league.
Okay, but my point is that Jokic is ineffective without an off the ball dribbler that can get points like that.
Okay, but I can't say that. But if you look at the history of the game, and I've said this to you before, I feel like big men always need an all star guard to do well.
And that's my whole point, though.
But what I'm saying is that because you bring up the step point, but I feel like guards and wings are different, whereas because they're able to handle the ball as much, bring the ball up the court, be the primary decision maker.
And this is my whole point in terms of saying who's the best player. Because when it comes to the best player, people will go with people that are doing the stepovers, hitting the step back threes. Like, regardless of what happened to Jason Tatum, he's going to be the future. Like, before, everyone was saying Doncic, but then now you've seen Doncic's lapses in terms of basically he's just James Harden with better PR. That's all.
You still take
Luka over Tatum.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that because it doesn't seem like you can play with Luka right about now. So if you join Luka, it's not a guarantee that you're gonna win anything because he's very ball dominant and he's not at that stage where he knows how to share the ball and build a team. It's about him getting his numbers.
Finger's been to five conference finals and lost like four of them.
That's irrelevant though. He's got there. What's Luka done? He's got there. What's Luka done?
He's been to a conference final too.
Someone's been defensive today.
Wait, wait. He got to a conference final, but your point. So, but
Jason Tatum got to
NBA finals though.
No, but your point is that you said if you play with Luka, you're not sure if you can win with him. And I'm saying, but I can say the same thing for Jason Tatum as well. That I'm not sure if.
But Jason Tatum has been to the promised land though. Luka hasn't though. Luka hasn't been to the promised land.
Yes.
Luka's went to the promised land.
The promised land's been an NBA title.
He's getting to the finals.
My whole conference finals.
I don't think we're going to see three big men dominating the league. That was my main point anyway. You're not going to see Luka, Giannis, and Embiid being the main guys. Like, it's not going to be those three.
They're the conversations right now for best players.
It's going to be the conversations, but you're going to see the Bookers that can drop 71. You're going to see the Jason Tatums that can drop 54. You're going to see all the other young guys that are coming up. So, you might have one of them, maybe Jokic, because he's more different. He can assist. He hits the off the dribble threes, gets the triple doubles, maybe. But Embiid, where you see him get injured, he's not getting further in the playoffs. People are going to start saying, we've seen enough of him. Giannis, he's always going to be dominant, but there's always going to be an excuse. Oh, is he the closer? So I just don't see the league going in a way where, okay, cool, three big men are going to be the faces or they're the main guys. I think it's going to be more.
After the season is done, we'll do a ranking of our top five current NBA players. What direction we go. Just before we go on to the East. Oh my God, what happened to my Lakers? As you said, the title is even called the Swept because they have been swept now. And it's crazy because the conversation coming into the conference finals, everyone was talking about we can't make the same mistakes as we did in 21, where as you trade all the good role players and whatever. But then you can see, you know what they said, lights are bright. Donald Trump said, turn off the lights. I mean, Malik Beasley, I didn't expect anything from him anyways, but then D'Lo, he didn't perform well. Van D start becoming a bit unplayable. And now everyone is now talking about it in terms of maybe we should try and get a superstar like Kyrie, or I'm not sure what the other superstars out there. What direction do you guys think the Lakers should go in? Do you feel like they should try their best to keep as many of the role players as possible and run it back? Or should they go in the direction of trying to get a third superstar to pair with LeBron and AD?
I was just going to say it literally only depends on LeBron James. Like, whatever direction he wants you to go into, you basically have to do that direction. So it's all on him. Like, realistically, what you've seen is you've got Austin Reeves. He can ball. Like, that's fine. Like, he's fine. He's not going to go anywhere. He's good to stay. The rest, like you said, when the lights hit, the strongest, can you deal with it? And D'Angelo Russell was awful that entire series. He basically said, I want to play for Denver. With the way he was basically playing, it kind of looked like he might as well be playing for Denver. So he was awful. AD had one good game, one memorable game, and that was game one. Outside of that, he didn't really do anything. That fourth quarter in game four was so bad. The fact that LeBron was like, look, I'm going to do one half of the job, you do the second half. And he couldn't do the second half because they were up by, I think, 15 points at halftime, I want to say. And the fact that you couldn't close that out, and all you had to do was basically just be an all-star player. You didn't have to be unbelievable. You just had to be an all-star player, and he didn't deliver. So you've got that issue. And then everybody else around them, it's quick. The way people are, they're quick and fickle to switch and change the way they want to. At the start of the playoffs, you're like, the Lakers have been amazing since the trade deadline. And then it becomes, okay, what do we need to do? What direction do they have to do? There has to be an element of patience with it. Like, it's not going to change over time. But the short answer, realistically, is whatever LeBron wants, because he kind of still proved he's still the number one guy on this team, you just got to deal with it and go with that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to kind of echo what Abbas said, but to kind of give my own, opinion on it, because, I've got to say on this. So if LeBron James retires, I don't believe he will retire at the end of the season. I don't think so. I think it was cap. Your guy, Richard, likes to control the narrative. That's what attention. He took the attention in a positive way. But let's say he's going to retire this offseason, right? Because of the end of his career, great career. What does it have effect on the Lakers salary wise? Do we, does all that money that LeBron just had with the Lakers, does it go back into the budget? Let me know, because I'm not really too sure about how it works.
I believe it does.
Yeah.
Right. I believe it does. Right. If that's the case, not saying I want LeBron James to retire, because I think if he's going to retire, he'll at least have at least one more season. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He ain't going nowhere.
If he's going to retire, I think that's a benefit for Lakers, because now the Lakers have a lot of cap space. You get to kind of tour around and see what you can bring to this team to make it better. You've got AD there. You can bring another star. Personally, I don't want Kyrie. I don't know how he'd fit in this team personally. Yes, he's a superstar player. Yes, he can ball out. But the question is, does he turn up to work? You know what I'm saying? Is he reliable that he's going to show up in the big moments? That's the question. You can't have that in this great franchise in Los Angeles Lakers. You can't have that, uncertainty. You just can't have that. So for me, if LeBron's going to retire, I think it puts Lakers in the best position because you've got a lot of money to kind of, go for options. Do you know what I'm saying? Now,
if you're in the same situation, even if he retires, though, because you're going to get... I said, even if he retires, you're still going to be in the same situation because they're going to look for a max player to max out the number that he would have had anyway.
Yeah, but right, the free agent class this year is whack.
Say that again, sorry, Rob?
The free agent class this year, like Richard said, is whack. So realistically, you can deal with getting a player which can accommodate Anthony Davis. It may not be at the same level as him, but you can get other role players which can make the team much stronger, and then you can go in next season. Because what you need to remember is that for me, with the Lakers team, you need someone which can relieve the pressure of Anthony Davis in the regular season. Because I don't think this guy, I don't know what's wrong with this guy, bro. I don't know what he does in the gym, but it's concerned. This guy is not going to play 75 games next season in the regular season. He's not, right? You need someone who can take the pressure of Anthony Davis in the regular season and can play 70 games and get the Lakers to at least be a top 5 seed. You don't have to be a top 5 seed, but it makes it easier if you are. You know what I'm saying? So with that in mind, if LeBron just were to retire, I think it would be the best option for the Lakers going forward to build a team that could potentially compete at the highest level consistently. Now, if he is going to stay, which is the most likely option, you've got to bring back Austin Reeves. He's a restricted agent in the summer. You've got to bring him back. You've got to also keep, I forgot to mention this guy, but you've got to keep Rui Hachimura because he was amazing this postseason. And every series he played in, he was amazing. You can all agree on that, right? He was amazing. Yeah, you can all agree. Cool. So you've got to bring them two back. And then now you've got to kind of see how you're going to get another player. It's not really like a max player, but you need to get another player which can, for me, complement the deficiencies that we have in this team. And that, for me, is get another point guard. And you need to probably get rid of DeAndre Russell. Yeah? And it's just a shame. Because he had good two series against Memphis and Golden State. But he really screwed himself over in that series against Denver. He was absolutely... Oh, I want to swear, but he was shit, man.
We got to look at Coach Ham though, because there was rumors saying that basically there was rumors going around that D'Angelo Russell said that if he wasn't starting, then his mind wasn't in the game. So there was always starting him when it should have been Rui maybe starting and D'Lo coming off the bench. And if you've seen that, Allen Day, what's bigger? Get into the championship game in terms of NBA finals or appease into what D'Lo wants? Yes, he might mess up a bit of harmony, but you got to let him know that right about now, this is not your time. Yeah? It's not your calling to be in for this matchup. It's not for you. You're best coming off the bench. Like in boxing, styles make fights. Same with basketball. Styles make fights. You start a different lineup against different teams. And I think he should have been a team player, which he wasn't. So hence why they're going to probably do something.
So you're blaming that on Darwin Ham, is that a position?
No, I'm not blaming on Darwin Ham, but I'm saying he could have been a bit stronger in terms of making that executive decision and saying, I'm not starting D'Angelo Russell because he's not helping the team. And he's been a malcontent saying that, oh, if I don't start, I'm not going to engage. You can't hold the team ransom. Like, come on.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a good point, But I think it's one game start, game four. Sorry, Richard?
Let's bring Westbrook back.
No.
Westbrook?
Nah.
It's not this, bro. Westbrook, shout out to him. I think this season, I don't think it was that bad for the Lakers, but it just wasn't going to work long time. I'll come to the point. Look, D'Lo for me has got to go. It's sad for me to say that, but he's got to go. I feel like for me, long term, I think he hasn't proven that he's a guy you can rely on in the postseason. And he had a good two series against Memphis and even Golden State. We can't deny that. But in the big moments for me, he was shocking. He's actually just poor as well. So for me, the Lakers, I think keep the same team, man. I think obviously just keep Darwin Ham. LeBron's gonna return back. You need to get another player, which is a good standard, probably another all-star player, which can is reliable, he's going to play at least 70 games a season. Because LeBron James can't be playing more than 65 games next season. He can't. You need someone who can take on the load to carry LeBron James healthy into the postseason. Like, the Lakers will have the best chance to get by number 18. Because you're not going to get the best chance to win number 18 if LeBron James is playing over 65 games a season. That foot is damaged. Do you know what I'm saying? He's 39 years old. It just can't work. You get me? Father time's coming for LeBron James. And you need to accept that, Richard, as well. So that's what I'm going to say about that.
Also, don't we need to look at the higher-ups, obviously, like Rob Pelinka and stuff like that? Yeah, look, in terms of the trade, by the trade deadline, he made some good trades and some good moves, yeah. But we've seen LeBron at his best when he's at Miami and Cleveland, when he's surrounded with shooters, yeah? So don't we think that the higher-up, the brass is there to say, okay, cool, let's run it back with this team, because there's no point getting Kyrie, because if you get Kyrie, it depletes your whole team. You're not going to have a bench. And we've seen in this NBA, you need a bench, i.e. Denver. Their team is stacked in terms of the options they've got. The best thing to do is run this team back, yeah, with a few changes. Let D'Lo go. There's no point in paying him 30, 35 million. He's not worth that. But then try and find some good veterans that complement LeBron in terms of shooting. Even though LeBron's playing more off the ball, like, you still just need shooters. Do you know what I mean? Because we've seen later on in the games, Austin Reeves is bringing up the ball and controlling it. But surround him with shooters and just give LeBron the best possibility to win. You know what I mean? Get some good 3-and-D guys and you're good to go. Look, we never know. We know Draymond's flirting around. There might be some trade that goes on. It might be Wiggins, Jordan Poole for, I don't know who they want to take, but they might focus on that because AD's got 1 year in his contract. I don't know if the Lakers are going to extend it for another 5 years. I don't think AD wants to be that franchise player. You're better off spending that money maybe elsewhere, and he's injury prone. But yeah, they just need to make a few tweaks, get some shooters in, and I think the team should be all right. If they start off better than 2-10, then they should be comfortably making the playoffs.
All right, there you have it. All right, so let's move over to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, what a crazy series this was. Because Miami went up 3-0. And then I think everyone started talking about what's the final matchup. Oh, how many games are Denver going to beat Miami in? How many games are Miami going to beat Denver in? And then the Celtics just started to come back. Don't let us get one game. Don't let us get two games. Don't let us get three games. And they came back and the impossible almost became possible. But as you do know, Tatum twisted his ankle and he was basically hobbled for the rest of the game. And Jaylen Brown was... I don't even know what to say, but 8 turnovers and 4 of them was him just getting picked because his handles weren't good enough. And it's just like, I don't know, it was just crazy to watch. Just starting off with Celtics, because as you mentioned, the impossible always became possible. Same like with the Lakers, what kind of direction did they go in? Because, I mean, unlike the Lakers, Jaylen Brown is still a very young player. Like, obviously, you know they're going to extend Tatum if they haven't extended him already. But like, what do they do with Jaylen Brown? Because especially with the NBA, which I don't think is right. With superstars or stars, if you don't offer them the maximum amount of money you can offer them, they tend to walk and stuff. So even if the maximum is like, 40 more? If you tell Jaylen Brown to take 30, he's going to walk. So do they stick with the Jaylen Brown and Tatum pairing or do they try and go a different option?
I think they stick. I get why people will be like, oh, he doesn't deserve that type of money and stuff like that. But realistically, it just makes sense to stick because you said it, he's a young guy. He's not really, he had a bad series and stuff, but do you want to disrupt the harmony? Do you want to disrupt the potential of that partnership? Now, don't get me wrong, I felt like Jaylen Brown throughout the season itself, and whenever I watched Boston, it felt like he was on his way out, regardless of whatever happens in terms of the money situation. But if I'm Boston, I probably will play the safe option because it's not like the option's been poor for them. Like, since they've both been in the league together, they've had success. Like, it's been more successful than I would say, like, when the big Doc Rivers teams were there and stuff like that. This Boston team, credit to them, they've done everything outside of probably winning the championship. And that's the only one thing you can say on them. Okay, they've not won the chip. But they've been to finals. They've been to Eastern Conference finals. Essentially, whenever they're in the playoffs, they're there. I think you probably do pay him the money and alongside Tatum, and you just see what you can do. They're in a better option. They're in a better situation to essentially run it back more than a lot of other teams type of thing. And it's worthwhile for them to basically go ahead and do it. Like you said, the money talks. And if Jaylen Brown gets it, someone else in Boston don't offer it, I'd move as well. Because, look, Jaylen Brown, no disrespect to him, like, the rings are cool and stuff, but he's not measured by his rings anyway. Like, he's not going to be one of them players where you look back and like, Jaylen Brown didn't win X amount of rings. Oh, and he's not in the GOAT conversation, or he's not in the top 20 conversation, top 30 conversation type of place. A ring is important, or it's an added incentive. But again, if you can get for him, probably it is going to be more of a money thing, because if you can get the money somewhere else, why not take the money? So I feel like Boston will extend, and if they don't, he's going to get his money somewhere else.
I think that they're going to contemplate blowing it up, because they're in a predicament now. Because they both made All-NBA, Jaylen Brown's entitled to 295, max, super max contract, and Jason Tatum's entitled to 318. So you already put that, just those two alone,
yeah,
that's 500 million that they're going to have to outlay at some point. Mm. And I think you're going to keep Tatum because he's a star on that team. And I think you listen to offers around different packages. And we've seen people offering these packages because the Golden State Warriors are in this situation now. Klay's looking for a max. Draymond Green's looking for a max. Steph's already got his max. Jordan Poole's already got his max. And then they paid Andrew Wiggins. So their five starters are all looking for big boy contracts. So they might have to entertain a Jordan Poole, a Wiggins, and maybe a Kuminga trade for Jaylen Brown just to freshen up that team. Because I think if you pay both of them, where's the leeway to bring in other players? Do you know what I mean? So I think, I don't know what they're going to do, but they're probably going to contemplate listening to some trades and whatnot. Just because of the money and the outlay that they might have to drop, it might be a thing that Boston might say, Boston's never that organization that wants to pay everyone anyway. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's a bit of a tricky one. That's something Brad Stevens has to look at. And the funny thing, he's been their coach before. So he knows the pros and cons about Jaylen Brown and Tatum. And then they can make that decision. But it's going to be a difficult offseason for them because they had that young core. Everyone expected them to win a chip within that 5 or 6 years. And they just haven't got there. Yes, they lost to the Lakers. LeBron's been in their way, but just in certain series where they've been the number one seed, i.e. against the Heat, they fumbled the bag. And the eighth seed, like I was saying, this is what the NBA wants. Someone that came in from the play-in that nearly got knocked out, come win the chip. That's a great story in itself. So, yeah, they've got to look at it.
And in regards to Jason Tatum, because obviously the Celtics are going to keep him or whatever, but do you feel, because we were just touching this earlier, do you think Jason Tatum has peaked as a player?
No. That's my guy, so I'm going to say no.
I don't know. It's like, for me personally, I don't know how much more better he can get. I know, and by the way, him not getting any better isn't a bad thing, because he's still arguably top 10 player. In fact, he probably is top 10 players in the league and whatnot. But then, as I said, it's like trying to get over the hump, because he's been to about 5 conference finals now in his career. He's been to the finals once, which he lost in 6 games. And he's like, what can he do to actually tip them? Now, if he gets another player that's better than him, like you start talking about your KDs and your Jokic and Embiid, then obviously he can still go win a ring. But as him as the best player, I'm not sure he can get to near the finish line, but he can't just cross it. He always falls at the...
Richard, what you got to bear in mind? How old is Jason Tatum? He's 25. He's a young bull still. And look what he's achieved.
Look at it as well, like, he's 25.
LeBron won his first title at what, 27, 28?
That's what I'm about to say.
He had a lot of moments where he failed. He got to bare conference finals with Cleveland. He lost in a matchup series that he should have won against Dwight Howard in 09. I think it's a bit too premature that Richard's kind of be kind of going the ceiling for Jason Tatum. Now, coming back to the whole Jaylen Brown discussion. It's not about talent with Jaylen Brown. He's a very, very good player. You know, you can say he's a top 20 player in the NBA. I'll make that statement. I'll agree with that if people, you know, want to say that. He's a 1-8 guy. Do you know what I'm saying? But the question with the Celtics is that, you know, he's going to be off. He's probably going to demand that money, that supermax. Rightfully so. He's an All-NBA player. He's a good defensive player. And we know how great he could be on the offensive end. Yes, this series was a bit of a disappointing one. But you got to give all the Celtics, you know, a bit of downfall. The only one which can really, you know, keep their head high is really Derek White in the Celtics team in this series. He was the only one which really kind of came clutch in the big moments in the game 5 win, of course, in the game 6 win where he got that put back of the rebound. So I think it was a collective effort for the Celtics' downfall. But if we're talking about talent-wise, Jaylen Brown should stay in this team. There's no question to say that they can't win together. And I don't want to win together. I hate the Celtics. But they got semifinals last year. They're the best team last year in the East. They'll argue the best team this year in the East alongside Milwaukee in the regular season. And obviously, for me, if you're looking at the reason why they lost this series, it wasn't because of talent. It was because of how they went into the series. It was the tactics. What they need to amend next season is not live by the three, because that cost them a lot. There was a stat actually I saw that when the Celtics don't make at least 40% of their threes, they lose games. When they do make 40% threes, they win games, right? So that is a very wish-wash sort of way to kind of go by playing your game in postseason basketball, especially a good defensive team against Miami Heat. Now, I think personally, Boston would probably get back to them if they kept Ime Udoka. I think for me, the coaching matchup for me was a bit of a discrepancy with Joe Mazzulla and, you know, exposure. So for me, I don't think this is talent-wise. Maybe you could say they could get more of a natural kind of quintessential point guard. Maybe get one you can, you know, you can actually kind of create plays better than Marcus Smart. Maybe that could elevate the team and maybe get on the line and win the championship. But I don't think this is based on talent, really. I don't think you can say that Jaylen Brown's not that guy and that he should walk. He's not really fit for his team. If he's going to walk, it's because of money. So that's the way I look at it. You know what I'm saying?
As I said, it's a bit of a tough one because how many times can you run the same thing back without it changing? And as I said, 5 conference finals in 7 years is like, have these players peaked? I know you said they're young, but they've been in the league for like 7 years or so. So, I mean, even though you made the LeBron comparison, everyone knew LeBron was destined for greatness. He already made the finals when he was in his third year or something like that.
Yeah, but Tatum made the finals last year, 24. They were similar age. Of MJ, he took him at age 27 to get his first title, and look what he did afterward. Got two, three beats, was unblemished.
Back-to-back MVP, mate. Back-to-back MVP. But that's not in the conversation. As I said,
it's LeBron James is trying for talent. We're not calling out Jason Tatum, so that's a different discussion.
Exactly. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, it might be premature, or some people just peak early, and that's just the way
they are. I hear what you mean, Richard, yeah.
Well, on to the Miami Heat. You know what? I'm not going to ask a question. I'm just going to let Abbas talk all these praise and Butler praise and whatever. So I'm going to mute my mic and you can just, you know, just... But before it does, I just want you guys to know that Abbas is a front runner. Abbas is a front runner because when it was 3-3, this guy didn't have anything to say. And now... Now they won the series. He started replying to a message from like 3 days ago. So,
listen. Look, Jimmy Butler, this is going to sound mad, is the best fourth quarter player in the NBA right now. There's not a single player in the NBA better than Jimmy Butler in the fourth quarter. And I hear a lot of people be like, yo, Tatum, Kobe, etc. He's got that Mamba in him. If you want to talk about a guy that's got the Mamba in him, it's Jimmy Butler. This guy, he could have an off. He could legitimately have 3 bad quarters where he's not able to hit anything. But come the fourth quarter, he's going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to make sure that they will get the win. Like, I still remember after game, I think it was game 3, when he did the timeout thing, and it's, I think it's Al Horford, and everyone's like, just, yo, this guy's mine. You think a guy like that is going to give up a 7-game series? No chance. Now, I'll give you game 4. Bit relaxed, whatever. You can have game 4. Game 5 in Boston, acceptable. Game 6, realistically, they should have won. That was like a miracle play. So realistically, this series should have ended in 6. And that's why, like, you looked at Miami, and they felt confident within themselves, knowing that we blew that rather than the Celtics won that game. So I a lot of people thought, oh, it's false confidence, they're going to be shook, etc. But realistically, it wasn't false confidence. They knew what they were going to do. They knew they were going to win that game. And they did it. There was never a period in Game 7 in Boston where I looked and said, this game is going to be a struggle for Miami. They were cruising at halftime. They were cruising in the third. They blew them out by about 20 points. Game 7. Okay, don't get me wrong. The Tatum injury is one thing. I'll get that. But Miami do what Miami do. And I said it when they beat Milwaukee straight away. This team is going to the finals. They're probably going to win the full thing. Outside if my Lakers were there. And I 100% still stand by that. There's one little thing that needs to be addressed with Miami. But outside of that, look, Jimmy is going to do what Jimmy can do, which is take this team, show that grit and determination and get them through. Don't get me wrong, Caleb Martin, exceptional for what he was doing as well in terms of contributions. Vincent, again, contributions there. Like, the full team did contribute, but when we say when it comes to clutch moments, when it comes to clutch time, Jimmy Butler in the fourth is there. He's the best player right now in the NBA when it comes to the fourth quarter, and nobody can tell me otherwise. And like I said, they were the best coach in basketball right now. Miami on Miami, and I said it before and I say it again, the best eight seed in the history of the NBA.
Okay, so John will ask a quick question that anyone could answer, because Jimmy Butler, for me, is kind of the hardest player to rank in the NBA, whether he's like top 20, top 10, top 5. Because if you just look at just his playoff resume or what he's been able to do in the playoffs, you would say that this guy should be top 5. But then he doesn't do enough in the regular season, whereas in, and to me, the regular season matters in terms of he's not in any MVP conversations. He's always in and out. He's not All-Star every single year. He's always in and out. He sometimes will average under 20 points on a game for a season. And then the playoffs comes and he starts giving you these 30 points, 35 points. So where would you guys kind of place Jimmy Butler in terms of like best players in the league? Is he top 5? Is he top 10? Top 15? Because as I said, it's kind of hard for me to rank him. Like, for example, if you were to ask someone, just put up a question, who's better between Jimmy Butler and, let's say, Paul George, for example. I reckon a lot of people will still lean toward Paul George just because of he still has better regular seasons over his career, but then Paul George has never done what Jimmy Butler has been able to do in the playoffs. So it's like, how do you rank this guy?
I think it's a tough one, you know. It is. I agree with Richard still, because with Butler, there's always them ones where you don't really know how you're going to classify, how you're going to categorize him. Because again, let's be real, in regular season, bro, what did he do this year, bro? I forgot about him, bro. Like I don't even know how much points he averaged in the regular season. Like, I don't even know. Like, because usually a player was just great, yeah. Like, does in the interview discussion, you know how much points they're averaging. Do you know what I'm saying? You know that they're averaging over 27 points per game. But I don't think he's had a regular season where he's averaged that amount of numbers. Obviously, Miami had a bit of a disappointing year. They fell 7th, then obviously got to 8th in the play-in. So it's a bit of a sticky one as well. Like, he's never really kind of seems to have a good run of games in the regular season. But in the postseason, he becomes a different player. Like, it's like he becomes Michael Jordan 2.0. Do you know what I'm saying? That's even bad for me to say, because I don't think no one's like MJ. But he comes equivalent to that. But I think if it was a title this year, if Miami win it, yeah, and he's the MVP, I think out of respect, you've got to say he's top 10 in the league. I think you've got to put him there, because he's been knocking on the playoffs for a good 4 or 5 seasons now. Do you know what I'm saying? And the fact that he's taking his team, yeah, which have been the number one seed in the East with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Knicks, let's not talk about them. They beat Boston Celtics, and now you're going to be the number one seed in the West with a 2-punch duo of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. For me, I think that is deserving of us putting in the top 10. Maybe not top 5, I don't know about top 5, but I think definitely top 10 if he wins the ring and wins Finals MVP. Finals MVP is a big question, because this series here against the Celtics, I don't think he was MVP, in my opinion. He had 3 good games. And Caleb Martin, for me, was the guy which won him the game, bro. Even game 6, he was one of the
He was... You know what, hear me out. This is what he was. He was
5-22.
No, hear me out. Caleb Martin
was stinking up, man.
Don't get me wrong. This is what I said. That's my guy. Yeah, but this is what I said. Like, he can stink it up, because what's going to happen is when it's the clutch time, there's going to be one guy you can trust more than anybody else.
Yeah, we can't always say that though, because he had three other opportunities to close out prior to the one they did in Game 7. So where was he?
No, but I mean, hear me out. In Game 6, he closed the game out. He closed that game out.
It's free throws, easy points.
And he gave him an extra free throw as well.
Did you say clutching out three free throws in a row is the easiest thing to do?
No, I rate that.
That, if anything, that's probably one of the hardest things to do when
I hear it, but free throws for a reason, though. You should be able to make
them. I hear what you're saying. You're meant to make them. I'm not against that. What I mean is, it's like there's so many players that realistically, if he missed one out of the three, it's like, okay, this game could go into overtime or the game's potentially in Boston's hand. Even though Boston ended up winning that, it was through a putback that they should have realistically closed that. Miami celebrated that game too early.
But Boston easily could have won that game. They were up at 15 points. I think 13 points in the fourth
quarter. And who brought him back into that game in the fourth quarter?
It wasn't really Jimmy Butler, bro. I think it was just a good defense.
Brother, go back in the stats. Go look in the stats.
It's true what Kojo is saying. It's not necessarily Jimmy Butler. It's the plays that went to that, and then that's allowed them to get the momentum and get the points back. Yes, Jimmy might have been involved, but it might have been defensive stops, you know, coaching.
Yeah, I get all that thing. Don't get me wrong. But the man that wants the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but he's the only guy on that team. He's the only guy.
That's what I mean. Like,
it's difficult to rank.
It's difficult to rank him.
When you look at these best players, you look at what they do in the regular season and the postseason, because you're not always going to make the playoffs, innit? So if Jimmy's always relying to ball out in the playoffs, no one's going to see what he can do in a regular 82-game season and maybe have a chance to win the MVP to start. Everyone starts saying, you know what, this guy is dope. So with Jimmy, it's hard to rank him. You probably say he's in your top 20. But like Richard said, if you speak to people like PG13 and Jimmy Butler, in terms of just style and optics, in terms of how they play, one, you know, Paul George's style looks better, and you've seen him ball out in the regular season. Yes, not perform in the postseason, but everything all builds up together. You need to have a good regular season to add your postseason to be a top five player or a top 10 player. You can't just have one or the other. Because if you're good in the regular season, smelly in postseason, no one rates you. If you're smelly in the regular season, you're not getting to the postseason regardless anyway. So you have to have both.
Sam made some very good points there. I just kind of reiterate this.
I've got no problem with that. But what I'm saying is, like, what I'm saying is, when it comes to the playoffs, for example, this year, he's been clutch. This is the best way I'll explain Jimmy Butler's style is aesthetically rugged. That's the best way to describe it. And Jimmy Butler is that, like, he's that, when they say he's got that dog in him type of guy, that's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler will be that guy that makes sure that he'll do everything to be able to get that win. Like, he's not gonna let himself be embarrassed. Like, if he says something, he'll make sure he'll deliver on it. Like I always say, I wasn't ever worried the fact that they were going to choke that series. It was just not going to happen. Game 6, they really should have finished up. But when the way they acted post Game 6, I knew that they were winning that game.
Yeah, Richard, just to kind of summarize and be concise, if he wins the title, wins the MVP, you can put him in the top 10 discussion.
All right, so let's move on to the final matchup, because obviously we've got Denver and we've got the Heat. Now, obviously, I don't know if this is what people expected coming. Obviously, no one expected the Heat to be, but I think a few people.
Hey, whoa. Run the clips.
It's not a glamour.
One person expected the Heat to be here. But
let's be real, Abbas.
He's been shown that.
When they beat Milwaukee, I literally said straight away they're going all the way.
We're saying at the start of the season or even at the start of the postseason.
No, that's fair. Like realistically, they shouldn't have beaten Miami. I mean, Milwaukee. But when they did, I turned around and said straight away, without anything discussing about whoever the hell they were playing, whatever, I got, they're winning the full thing. But carry on.
All right. So go back to the original comment. No one expected the Heat to be here. But we did expect Denver to be here. So we're just going to go how we see this thing going, how it's going to play out. And if you want to, you can give your prediction. I'll just go first. Start with my prediction or how things are going to go. I think it will be an interesting series. it depends on how bad the Jokic wants to beat up on Bam Adebayo, because I do believe that the Heat won't have the paused left to deal with what Denver can. And obviously, I think the Heat are a good defensive team, but I feel like Denver are a good defensive team, and obviously Heat are a great offensive team, but I do think Denver's offense is just far superior to what I believe Miami will be able to muster up. And obviously, you've got a bunch of like undrafted guys on the Heat, people who would fight hard on defense. But at the end of the day, Denver are the first seed for a reason. And I feel they'll be consistent. And Jokic, as you mentioned, is arguably the best player in the league. So I don't think there's anyone to stop Jokic. And I do believe that this series would end in 5 games. Obviously, it's going to sound crazy because what the Heat have been doing. But I do believe Denver have just been far superior to everyone else in the playoffs. And I just don't see it stopping now. And plus, I mean, you've got a good coach in Malone as well, who, even though he seems to be talking a lot of crap on the Lakers for some reason, like, brother, let it go. Like, we're in LA for a reason and you're in Denver for a reason. But still saying that, it's like, you won't have the coaching mismatch or it won't be as big. And I think Denver players would just be... I mean, KCP already has the experience of winning a ring anyway. So there's that experience on that team as well. I don't know. It's just... I feel like there's a big mismatch within the series in the favor of Denver. So I do believe Denver will win the series in 5 games.
Well, personally for me, I'm going to kind of concur with Richard's prediction. Look, I want us to go to 7 games because I think we deserve a 7 game final. Do you know what I'm saying?
Man, I want to sleep on time now.
True. But you know, the NBC is going to be out for 4.5 months, so. I don't mind. It's going to be gone for 4.5 months, so I don't mind. But yeah, just looking at it, I want us to go 7 games because obviously, you know, we haven't had a 7 game final series since 2016 with LeBron James and against the Golden State Warriors. So I think I want us to go 7 games, but being rational here, this series is done in 5. It's done in 5. I just feel like it's a bad matchup. I think Denver for me, pause, just better length, pause again. For me, I think offensively are way better.
Hey, you know what's funny? We are in the generation of like the social media warriors, social justice warriors and stuff. So you know what?
Yeah, but what was I saying? I think give Miami credit, yeah, and I want them to make this a very interesting series. I want it to go 7 games, I really do, because I want it to be very competitive. And this NBA postseason has been great because Abbas criticized the NBA postseason at the start, saying it's quite predictable, quite boring, and it's become nothing like that this postseason. So the NBA gods have blessed us with
memorable. Do you know what's funny? I need to be more critical to start off with, because what's the first thing I said? I said that they need to have a good underdog March Madness story. I basically delivered you the NBA playoffs as elite as it is. So if anything, I should get all the credit for what is happening right now.
No, props to you, man. You made a good point, innit? But yeah, so look, we've got that. The Lakers did well, you know what I'm saying? Got to the current finals, had a great run, it was a great story. Boston will never see back to, you know, Tinseltown. The Heat have done madness, you get me? But yeah, Denver win this in 5, man. Just offensively much better. Like the way they play, the offensive schemes, I don't think Miami can handle that. I just feel like for me, even the rest as well, Miami should really close the series much earlier as they can, because to go to Denver in that altitude, to only have one day of preparation, where you could potentially have at least 7 days of preparation if you just done your job and beat the goddamn Celtics at 4. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You let them come back, win 3 games, and you go to game 7 in Boston. This is all this nonsense. For me, it ends in 5. Nikola Jokic will probably win the MVP. Denver will be crowned NBA champions, and they will achieve basketball immortality. That's my prediction.
Whoa. Just a quick question before we move on. What's all this altitude to when we talk about Denver? Because, I mean, this is the first time they reached the finals. And unlike NBA arenas, like air-conditioned or stuff, like, so how does this altitude really affect these guys if they're not playing?
I don't know the science behind it. I don't know.
It's just saying the air is thin there, isn't it? So you got to be at your apex to kind of be running up and down. Like, obviously, it's an excuse. It's been there. If that was the case, Denver would have got to every single final prior. But I think, you know, with how science is,
It was an outdoor sport, so I would have understood, but I don't know, it's indoor, so Like, just turn.
Yeah, I just like because it just made sense with the whole.
Yeah, but everyone's been saying it now, so yeah. I agree.
fair enough. Look, all right.
But Denver five. But I want to score 7 games because we need a good series. I think Miami deserve it. It'll be very sad if Miami get crumbled like this because they've been great. Respect to them. I want to score 7 games, but being logical and rational, Denver should win this in 5 and win their first title.
So this is my thing, innit? I like the Miami organization. I like Pat Riley. He's done his thing as a player, as a coach, as a GM. If you ask me, in terms of executive and an all-round, like, executive and person, I say he's best. He's better than Phil Jackson because Phil Jackson couldn't pick talent. When he coached, he always had the best talent. Cool. I'm not going to lie, Abbas is convincing me that Miami, they got that dog in them. Jimmy Butler, they're going to do it. But like Kojo and Richard have both said, you just look at Denver and their firepower. Can Miami keep up with that pace? Yes, there's some similarities with Golden State and Miami, how they play. They play fast pace, but they can't put up the numbers that Golden State can. And I just think when you've got Jokic, you've got Murray, Porter Jr., Bruce Brown, Gordon, KCP, their team's just stacked, man. And I just think Jokic and Jamal Murray are just going to ball. We're going to have to see some heroic numbers from Jimmy Butler for them to win this. He has to be doing 45 a night, and I don't think that's consistent for someone like Jimmy. So as much as it's been a Cinderella story from the Miami Heat and what they've done, big up Coach Spo. Yes, Abbas has been saying it for the longest. He's doing his thing. Big up Jimmy Butler. Big up Pat Riley. But I never thought I'd say this or I'd hear this coming. Denver's going to win, and that I'm going different from the guys. I'm going Denver in 6. But, I got Denver winning. I just can't see, like, Miami don't have the firepower to keep up with Denver, man. Do you know what I mean? So, that's the only thing. If they had...
So, Coach Ball's going 2-4 in the finals.
Whoa. Let me see.
There's no expectations for him, though, innit? Man was a computer guy, data guy. You know, Pat Riley saw the potential... Made him the coach. So there's no expectations of him being a Mount Rushmore of coaches. So even if he's 2 and whatever in the finals, it is what it is. But Denver in 6, man.
All right. And last but not the least, Abbas, tell me how many games you think the Heat are winning in.
6. Like, I'm keeping it short and sweet. Like, what's the Charles Barkley thing when he guarantees everything? Edit me into that because I'm guaranteeing this. Miami Heat winning 6 and Jimmy Butler comes the king of the NBA for this season.
No reason. But yes. No.
There's no need to be a reason. I believe it way too strongly. And look, this is what I'll say. This is the first time like Miami will be matched evenly to a point in terms of coaching standpoints. Throughout the entire Eastern Conference, they've been outmatched coaching. There's in like Coach Spo's just the best coach to have. This is the first time I can look at him and be like, okay, still not on his level, but there's an element of strong coaching here. You said it already where Bam will have to step up and be able to guard Jokic to some degree. Obviously, he's not going to be able to stop him completely, but he's going to have to stop him. He's going to have to stop him to the point where he's probably not hitting 34, 35 each game type of thing. He's going to have to stop that. Jamal Murray is probably the biggest X factor in this entire series. And I say that because without him, Jokic has struggled in terms of what's happened in previous playoffs. With him, obviously, you're seeing what's happening right now. But I will never, ever, ever bet against Coach Spo and Miami. You're just never going to get me to do that in the NBA playoffs. It's just not happening. Like, if I didn't follow the Lakers, I'd be over in South Beach, like 100%. It's just not happening. It's got nothing to do with LeBron, nothing to do with anything else. But yeah, like I'm sticking with my goal. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Miami in 6.
Abbas, it is because of LeBron. LeBron made Miami cool. Before that, they weren't cool. They had D-Wade, but it weren't South Beach.
But do you know what's funny? I never cared about Miami like that.
Wait, quick question. Would you count Miami as a big market?
Of course, but before
LeBron James, not many big free agents were really going to Miami.
No, it is because you got to realize in Miami, there's so much shit to do. You don't have to go and watch, but like, have you ever watched their games? Like, first and second quarter, there's no one in the stadium.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Rick Ross, DJ Khaled, they got shit to do. They're coming in late, but it's a big market.
It's like, a huge market.
No state tax. So if you get paid 50 million, you're going home with 50 million. So why wouldn't you want to live there? You got the babes there. You got the beaches there.
Yeah. Oh.
Coach was like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
you know what's funny? I saw my Stephen A. It's so stressful.
Exactly.
That's what he looks like.
It's serious, bro. It's serious. I'm an LA boy. I love LA. But Miami is serious. I'm telling you, serious.
You know what my point is there, about going to Miami and stuff. Like, because I always said, you know what? Fuck Miami 2024. Yeah, fuck Miami 2024 because let's just go to America. I said, actually, you know what? I have to be in Miami. I'm taking my dollars and spraying it here. You know what? You see the machine, money guns.
The money guns. You want the money guns?
Yeah.
The Supreme thing, yeah. The Supreme one, yeah.
I was gonna say the Supreme money gun. If you're gonna do it, you're gonna do it properly. Buy the Supreme money gun.
Exactly.
But quick shout to Denver. Can't lie to you though. Like the NBA crew, when they pan around the city and that, like, when they're just scanning, can't lie to Denver. Looks nice though. It surprised me. Denver, man, it's looking a bit lit. So you may give me my money one day.
There is nothing nice about Denver. I'm sorry.
No, but
if I go Miami, I'm taking out a bank loan because there's no way I'm not going to live my life to the fullest in that place. So, but yeah, back onto the basketball. So everyone, well, me and Kojo picks Denver in 5. Sam picks Denver in 6. And Abbas says Spo is going to go 3-3 in NBA Finals. So, with that being said, thank you for tuning into another episode. It was fun chopping over the guys again. And everyone's like, socials is in the link below. Like, my socials, the Outbound socials. But I'm going to shout the Outbound one anyways, because why not? So, follow us on every social media platform. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Outbound_UK, and we'll be back to do the final preview. Also, watch out for end of season Premier League review as well, and Formula One content coming back on the channel soon. So, on to that, thank you guys for tuning in, and see.